See, I told you at 5:10 on Monday you would feel like it's 4:10. You were skeptical, weren't you? How do you feel right now, huh? I've got my watch still on the old time, so I can monitor my body for a while, because my body will be on this old time for a while yet. Despite what my wife says, I drive her crazy talking about this. She insists I should be reset already after one day. That's not true. Is your body reset? Not mine. I'm hungry at different times. I'm sleepy at different times. So I guess the deal is it's going to be dark longer this morning, but as you saw yesterday, it's light till about 7 o'clock. That's nice, isn't it? That's the good news. The bad news is don't look at your IRA for a while. And what else? What else is the bad news today?
That's, you might want to go fill up on a gallon of gas too, just in case. Although gas prices are probably going to go down.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Right. What did you say in the news, Steve? It's the lowest price of oil since, what, 91?
1991.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be another crazy day on Wall Street. The futures are way down. But we're up. Good to have you awake with us. And first caller in gets a prize, as always, if you want to try for that. In a little bit, 312-981-7200, the phone number, 312-981-7200. Were you washing your hands a lot over the weekend? I enacted the bow over the weekend. We had some people come over to the house over the weekend, and instead of hugging or shaking hands, I just bowed. It seemed to, I kind of liked that, and they bowed back. You know, it seems very classy to do it that way.
And the head of the World Health Organization says he's adopted he puts his hand on his heart when he greets somebody.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I can try that. Yeah, people are really, and I'll talk about this later, people have gone nuts completely. I made the mistake of going to Costco on Saturday. I'll tell you about that later. That was a mistake. Man. Oh, you know. I was almost severely injured by a crazed woman and her gigantic shopping cart.
I was going to ask if you wore riot gear.
I should have. Man. Well, Courtney Guzman was just on television, and now she's on the radio. Good morning, Courtney. How you doing today?
Hey guys, how's it going? I'm doing great.
We are, of course, still on coronavirus watch, and so are you for Channel 9 News this morning. What's the latest?
Yeah, you know, this is something we'll probably be watching for a while. So now Illinois has 7 confirmed cases of coronavirus, and we know at least 2 of those patients have fully recovered. But 2 of the latest cases, a little alarming, one of them at a CPS school over here in front of Vaughn Occupational High School. This is a school that caters to special needs students, about 100 of them. And we have learned over the weekend that an aide here, a woman in her 50s, was actually another confirmed case. She was Illinois' 6th confirmed case. And as a result, they are now working around the clock to clean the school. So they are doing deep cleaning as we speak here inside of Vaughn Occupational High School. They are also asking individuals who actually reported to the school, whether you're staff or students, from February 25th to about March 6th. If you were here during those dates, they asked that you not come back until March 18th. They're trying to make sure the individuals who step foot back into this building are free and clear of coronavirus. They have been testing individuals, staff and students here, to make sure anyone who may have had symptoms like coughing or fever or respiratory illness and that. We have also learned about a 7th case of coronavirus, a man in his 60s, now hospitalized in serious condition. He's believed to be the first case of community transmission because health officials are saying they don't believe that this is tied to any sort of travel anywhere that would have caused him to pick up the virus, and it's not known that he's connected to any of the previous cases that have been diagnosed here in Illinois. So they're trying to track down this man's activity and figure out how he picked it up. And it's believed that there are other cases out there that just haven't been diagnosed here in Illinois. So these numbers are expected to go up. And as you see, it's taking a toll on our money on the stock system as well.
It sure is. And Courtney, where is that high school located?
It's actually in Portage Park on the north side.
Okay, well, you know what? I mean, once more people are tested, as you say, the numbers are going to go up. So I guess we should expect that and not try to panic too much. But I don't think that'll stop people from freaking out. It's too late for that.
We're also hearing about Loyola Academy closing for the day today because it has been determined that there are some individuals who attend Loyola Academy who've had contact with an individual who tested positive for coronavirus. Now, those individuals who had contact that are affiliated with Loyola Academy, that is, they have not shown any signs or symptoms of having coronavirus. They have not tested positive for having coronavirus. So the school is doing this out of precaution. So we are expecting to see a lot more moves like this where people surrounding positive cases may be shutting schools down. And health officials are actually encouraging people to figure out alternative methods. You know, you may not want to have that big social party that you're planning to have. And especially when you're talking about elderly individuals, keep them at home, keep them isolated, especially if they have underlying health issues.
That's Loyola Academy up in the north suburbs, correct?
Correct.
Courtney, thank you for the update, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good day.
All right. All right, you too. Thanks so much.
523, and this is Jim calling in, and you're the first call, Jim.
Good morning, Bob.
Where are you calling from?
Hey, I live in Byron, south of Rockford.
I'm not familiar with Byron.
That's where the nuclear power plant is.
I see. Okay, so that means that you get power without plugging anything in, right? And you're glowing right now.
That is correct, Bob.
What do you do for a living, Jim?
I drive a truck local, so I'm about to get going here.
Got any rain your way?
Not yet. Sounds like it's coming, though. You tell me.
Yeah, they say some rain here and there through the morning rush and more rain over more of the area later on today and tonight. But it's not going to turn cooler until late, so you're okay. What do you have in your truck there, Jimmy?
Pardon?
What do you haul?
I actually haul diesel exhaust fluid, if you know what that is.
Not really.
That's fluid as of 2010. The federal government called for it to inject into exhaust systems.
If you
to
say
get
so.
get rid of nitrous oxide pollution.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're doing your good deed for the day. And by calling in and getting on the radio before anybody else today, we have a $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet for you. I can't speak because I'm on like the old time still. For me, it's like 4:25 now.
You and me both, Bob. This daylight savings time, you show at the door.
Although maybe we should try this. I got a text here. Where is it? Oh, yeah, from 630 area code. Bob, just pretend you've gone on vacation and you've traveled to the mountain time zone. The time change isn't so bad then. Let's try that, Jim.
Hey, one step at a time today. I think everybody ought to be careful because this throws you off. It really does.
Yeah, we were talking last week about how there are more fatal auto accidents after the time change, more heart attacks. So.
I heard that segment. I listened to you a lot. Hey, I'm glad you're back on the air, Bob.
Well, that's nice of you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you.
This is a love fest here. It's making me feel good. Hold on, Jim. We'll get all the information we need so we can get that prize out to you, okay?
All right. You have a good day.
All right. You too. It's almost 5:26 right now, and we have, let's see, Blackhawks tickets to give away today. We'll do that a little after 6 this morning and a little after 7:30 this morning. We'll give you a chance to call in and win those. It was not a good night for the Hawks last night. It wasn't a good weekend for them, Dave.
No, it was not. And you got to get points. They didn't get any in four games. Now they're down to 13 games. They've got a six-point deficit, and it's going to be very difficult for them now. So, I mean, St. Louis is red hot, and they faced them at a time when St. Louis is trying to hold off Colorado to win the division. But the loss to Detroit kind of knocked them back on their heels already going into this game last night. They played tough against the Blues. I mean, had every opportunity, but just couldn't get one past Jake Allen, the goaltender for St. Louis.
I saw some of the game on NBC Sports and an all-female broadcast team. They were good.
They did a nice job. It was International Women's Day, and I see Kendall Coyne in the glass. I think she was really excited as she sat on the air to be there watching her hometown team and to be covering the game. So, yeah, it was a cool thing.
Yeah, I liked hearing the female voices. I did.
And it was, the nice thing is you get to a point where you're not even thinking of it that way. It's just this was an intense hockey game, and you're it's just like any other announcer.
Yeah, after the first couple minutes, you're right. And how about that Fighting Illini basketball team?
That was a great game last night. That was really a good Big Ten, hard-nosed last game of the Big Ten season. Came down to the very last play of the game, and Luka Garza is going to be the player of the year. The Big Ten had the ball in his hands with a chance to tie it for Iowa, and Kofi Coburn, the freshman for Illinois, blocked the shot. And that was it. So it was, but it was quite a rally by Iowa late in the game to get back in it. And it was very intense. It was a fun game to watch. Kind of sets the tone for what's ahead this week. The Big Ten tournament gets going on Wednesday in Indianapolis. And Illinois, by the way, is the fourth seed. I think I might have said they were the fifth. They're the fourth seed. Iowa's the fifth seed in the tournament. So Iowa will play. The winner of, let's see, my print is so small here. They'll play the winner of Northwestern Minnesota. That game is on Wednesday. And Illinois then won't play until, that would be Friday. They will take on the winner between Iowa and Northwestern or Minnesota. So
just tell me when people start coming around the office with a grid and asking me for
money.
That's
next week. That's next Monday. That's a week from today.
And the kid, Kopech, is going to pitch
tomorrow.
Tomorrow
for the White Sox.
So that's his first outing, the first real test
since
of his arm?
Tommy John. Yep.
Well, let's see.
First time he's pitched in a game.
Yeah.
So it's a big moment for the White Sox tomorrow. And we'll have the game right here on WGN.
That's that game, and also this afternoon.
They take on the Reds, and we'll have that game from Glendale with Andy Mazur and Darren Jackson at 3:00. Don't forget, now the games are 3, not a 2, because see, in Arizona they don't change the clocks.
Don't confuse me any more than I am already. Yeah. This disturbed me to see that Craig Kimbrell, every time he's pitched so far this spring for the Cubs, somebody has hit a home run off of
him.
At what point do I really start to get nervous about that?
You got about 2 weeks.
That's all? I think I'm going to start now. Agribusiness Brief Time with Orion.
Good morning. As I look at the screens of last Friday's market activity, I'm wondering if we're going to see a repeat as we start this trading week. All red screens for the grain and livestock trade as they all moved lower. And another thing that happens once a year, and it's happening starting this week in Argentina. Farm groups, because they're unhappy with the government, go on strike. All 4 Argentine farm groups will join a 4-day crop sales strike starting today, and it's in protest of a recent increase in soy export taxes. So that happens every year, and well, we don't necessarily look forward to it, but it happens regardless. USDA said Friday it will prohibit shipments of all pigs for at least 3 days if the nation ever finds a case of African swine fever. Federal government is preparing to contain and eradicate African swine fever if it spreads to the United States to avoid the type of devastation seen in China, where the disease has reduced the herd by more than 40%, and consumer pork prices are at all-time record highs for a very important ingredient in the Chinese menu. There's another portion of the Conservation Reserve Program sign-up getting underway, and that's the Conservation Reserve Program Grasslands. That gives you the opportunity to put pastures and cover crops in the program and still be able to use some of what is growing on those acres. Contact your Farm Service agency to get full details on that. Sign up will end May 15th. That's AgriBiz. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion, at 541. I no longer want to be called a broadcast personality, by the way. I want to be referred to as a relationship manager. Okay? Can you tell I spent the weekend calling credit card companies? Sounds good. A relationship manager. That's what I'm doing here. Coming up on the broadcast in about an hour, we'll check in with the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Kevin Most. And I think we may keep him on the phone for about 2 hours because there are so many questions and so many things to clear up regarding the coronavirus. So we'll try to answer some of those questions with Dr. Most coming up in about an hour. And if you ever want to hear some of these segments again, or if you can't listen, if you go to WGNRadio.com later in the day, there is a podcast of the show. So you can just check out whatever segments you want at WGNRadio.com on the podcast. We kind of load that up after we sign off at 9 here this morning. So keep that in mind. And, oh, I brought in something from the record collection as well today. That'll be coming up after 7 o'clock right here at good old WGN. It's 5:43. I'm getting texts. Advice to straighten myself out, since I'm having trouble with this time change, from 312. Just keep your clock at home at standard time. I've been doing it for over 10 years, but be aware of the daylight saving time. My wife would not allow that. Can you imagine if I did not reset the clocks at home? I drive her crazy. I do as it is. And talking about how I feel like it's 4:43 right now. I'm going around saying that all day yesterday, and she's trying to convince me that you're all over the shift. You're over the change. You reset on Sunday. I didn't, though. What, did yesterday go by fast, huh? Wow. That was crazy.
Yeah, but it was so nice. Walk in last night
in the daylight.
I think around, I took my dog for a walk around six, a little after six. The weather was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was still nice and bright.
Yeah. I guess for a while anyway, the sunrise will be later. And then after a while, well, here we go again. Don't let me start down this road ever, because I always get confused. Yeah, it's going to keep getting lighter later, and then eventually it'll be lighter earlier as well.
By the time you're coming in here in June, you will see the most spectacular sunrises right around the time you come into the studio at 5 o'clock.
We look back here. Navy Pier is behind us, and then Michigan Avenue is in front of us. There's glass all around here on the 18th floor, and we do get a good view of the city. All right. I'm ready to see that.
Look forward to that, Bob.
I will. How's your pet doing? Pet cats and dogs cannot pass the new coronavirus on to humans, but they can test positive for low levels of the pathogen if they catch it from their owners. That's the conclusion of Hong Kong's Agriculture, Fisheries, and Conservation Department after a dog in quarantine tested weakly positive for the virus about a week ago using the canine's nasal and oral cavity samples. An unidentified spokesman for the department was quoted in a news release as saying there is currently no evidence that pets can be a source of infection of COVID-19 or that they become sick. Scientists do suspect the virus that causes the disease originated in bats before passing it on to another species, possibly a small wild mammal that passed it on to humans. However, experts from the School of Public Health of the University of Hong Kong, the College of Veterinary Medicine and Life Sciences of the City University of Hong Kong, and the World Health Organization for Animal Health have unanimously agreed that the dog has a low level of infection and it is likely to be a case of human-to-animal transmission. Are you following this? The dog and another also in quarantine that has tested negative for the virus will be tested again before being released. The department suggested any pets, including dogs and cats, from households where someone has tested positive for the virus should be put into quarantine. In general, pet owners should maintain good hygiene, including washing hands before and after handling animals, their food and supplies, and no kissing them. Oh, really? We can't kiss the pet anymore? People who are sick should avoid contact with pets, say the experts, and a veterinarian's advice should be sought if changes in a pet's health conditions are detected. Have you seen people walking their dog this morning with the dog wearing a surgical mask? That's next. You'll be seeing that.
Haven't seen it yet.
And good luck trying to put that on your cat. And I guess for a while now, you know, don't ask your dog for its paw. No shake. Don't do that. You know, just a fist bump or something like that. So that's the latest on animals and the coronavirus. It's 5:52. And were you in any stores over the weekend? People madly trying to get Purell, their various disinfectants and wipes and toilet paper, water. I mean, it is crazy out there.
But, you know, I was in a store yesterday, and I didn't, in a big store with all that stuff, and I didn't see any sort of panic buying, and there seemed to be plenty of stock on the shelves.
Well, you weren't at Costco, were you?
I was not at Costco.
Okay,
no.
Well, you know what? I made the mistake of going on Saturday, which, I could have gone during the week with these hours, and it probably would have been a lot better. But Saturday morning, and I figured, you know what? They open at 9:30. I'll get there right at 9:30. It won't be so bad. Big mistake. Mm-hmm. Big mistake. By, let's see, I think it was 10:30 or 11, they were completely out of toilet paper. You believe that? And every cart I saw filled with toilet paper, bottled water, and nobody had hand sanitizer, various disinfectants and things like that. It was wild. And then I go to my neighborhood Mariano's, and it was pretty common there. And the guy says, the manager of the store says, yeah, we got plenty of toilet paper here. So, I mean, I guess people just flocked to Costco because they wanted to get a year's supply or something.
That's it. Yes.
Man. I took a picture of the scene there, like at 9:30 Saturday morning. I should post that, shouldn't I? Where should I post that? I think that's kind of funny. Should I post that on my Facebook or Twitter or WGN's?
All of the above.
Really?
Yeah. I'm curious, Bob, this free sample situation, did they cut that off at your Costco's?
I'm there early, and I figure, let me stick around till lunchtime. I'm hungry. And no, where's the food? And then I find out later that for health reasons, they have stopped with the samples at Costco.
Yeah, really? Yeah, I saw. Yeah. Listen, on social media on Saturday, people were just losing their mind over that part of it.
I had no idea. I kept thinking, because I'm usually not there that early, I kept thinking, Well, they don't have the samples of the food out in the morning. They bring it out at lunchtime, and I'm waiting. And of course, I didn't ask anybody. If I would have asked, they would have told me. And then later in the day, I read that they decided not to do that.
So wait, how many hours did you wait? This guy, hey, aisle three. There's a guy going up and down the aisle pushing his cart. He hasn't bought anything in 2 hours.
Well, I was hungry, and I figured I'll stick around a little while. Yeah, I was there for quite a while. Well, also, my wife kept calling me, adding things to the shopping list. It was very aggravating. And as I mentioned earlier, and then at one point, some woman was very upset, and she just was going about 40 miles an hour with that humongous shopping cart they have at Costco. And I had jumped out of the way. I was almost killed there. What an ignominious end to Bob Surratt that would have been. Oh, 5:55.
Got to be careful.
Yeah, be careful out there, especially now. But I did manage to secure, before they ran out, I did manage to secure a pack of, I think, like 30 rolls of toilet paper and paper towels. For some reason, you know, my wife wanted me to get paper towels and some of those wipes, because we're supposed to go away on spring vacation, and so she wants to wipe down the plane.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, really.
Yeah, I'm still, I don't know. I'm going to ask Dr. Most about that. Should we be flying, really? I mean, domestically, they say, you know, if you don't have a pre-existing condition and something kind of serious and you're elderly, then you're okay. You know, if you're in that category where you're susceptible, watch out, even on, well, for sure on a cruise and a long flight, but I don't know about the short domestic flights. I don't know what to do. And I don't know whether to look at the stock market. Well, no. Today, no, right, Steve?
Yeah, don't look at it at all. It's going to be rough today. And on the Market Desk Outlook, sponsored by Associated Bank, we'll be watching a couple of key things today. First of all, oil prices, which have dropped to their lowest level since 1991. The Saudi Arabia and Russia fighting over oil, and that's caused the price of oil to drop dramatically. We'll be watching to see how that develops as the day goes along. Also, keep a close eye on the U.S. 10-year Treasury now at 0.458, which below is not only below 1%, but it's even lower than that. Will it go negative? That's something we'll also watch. In terms of things happening today, a couple of companies reporting earnings: Stitch Fix, Casey General Stores, U.S. Auto Parts Network. Just a few things that could move the markets on this Monday, March the 9th.
How would you like a pair of Blackhawks tickets free? Let's do it this way. First person to call in and answer this question: how did I spend my Saturday morning? We just talked about this a few minutes ago. If you know and you're the first caller, you'll win the Blackhawks tickets. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Tickets courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at foursseasonsheatingcooling.com. It is exactly 6:11 and 40 seconds if you want to check to make sure you reset your microwave and other appliances accurately. Text from 847. Hi, Bob. It's a one-hour time change. Is your life and body that finely tuned that this one-hour change causes you so much trouble? If yes, I recommend that you never travel outside of the central time zone. Yes is the answer to that.
Yeah,
question.
Of course. It has to be the answer.
It's 6:12. And let's see. Oh, Mary Vandeveld is off. She went to Florida. Did she clear that with us? How dare she? Well, so she's on Eastern time. I hope she's adjusting well this week. And James Sears is filling in the traffic center. James, are you awake?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, all right. Are you caffeinated?
I have some tea this morning.
Is it? I'm guessing you've been drinking decaf.
I switch between tea and coffee, right, depending on the day.
I'd heavy up on the coffee.
Sounds good.
It's 6:13 right now. And okay, let's say hi to Paul. Hey, Paul in Beverly. Good morning.
Good morning. morning, Bob. How are you?
All right. What was I doing Saturday morning?
You were wandering the aisles of Costco waiting for food that never came out.
Ding, ding, ding!
Congratulations. That's correct. You get the tickets to see the Blackhawks play the San Jose Sharks Wednesday. This Wednesday. We'll get those out to you. How about that?
I'll be there. Great. Thanks.
Yes, appreciate you paying attention and listening. And yes, if you wonder how a big star like me spends his Saturday mornings, now you know, don't you?
I was in a grocery store yesterday, and they were offering samples.
Really?
So, yeah. So maybe it's just a Costco rule?
I guess so. It's
I didn't take any, by the way.
I was very disappointed. I was very hungry, and I didn't get any food. But I got plenty of aggravation. Hold on, Paul. We'll get all the information we need from you.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. What do you do for a living, Paul?
I'm a plumber.
Are you on the job yet this morning?
I am. I'm out with it right now.
You know what the most important thing in the morning is? Good water pressure in the shower. Do you agree?
There's no question about it.
All right.
No question.
do people ask you all the time to sort of to replace shower heads and get
people
a more powerful one, huh?
People ask me for the most unbelievable things over here in your life. I don't have enough time to hear the things people ask me to do for them. So yeah, really? It's a daily occurrence.
Is there one that you could mention actually on the radio?
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
All right. Thank you. Hold on.
Bye, man.
Let's see. We're going to give away another pair of Blackhawks tickets later this morning after the 7:30 news. And later today, John Williams will do the same after 9 o'clock this morning. More chances to win Blackhawks tickets thanks to Four Seasons.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
Everything's a little slower. We're blaming it all on the time change. It's now 6:20. And here's what people are talking about today. As China appeared to be getting over the initial attack of the coronavirus that started, their outbreaks continue growing this morning in the U.S. and Europe. A fast-growing list of schools, universities, and other American institutions have asked folks to stay home as the number of confirmed infections in the U.S. soars over 500. At least 565 confirmed cases and at least 22 dead now. Some politicians, including Ted Cruz, have announced they will self-quarantine after unknowingly interacting with a coronavirus patient. Ted Cruz did at last month's Conservative Political Action Conference.
Now, page two.
Global markets fell sharply early this morning after an alliance between Russia and the international oil cartel OPEC imploded, causing the worst one-day crash in crude oil prices in nearly 30 years. Wall Street also looks to follow suit as the effects of the coronavirus outbreak deepened over the weekend. More on this from financial expert Terry Savage. We'll talk to her after the 7:30 news this morning.
Page three.
As we've been discussing, Costco is suspending free samples over safety concerns with the spread of the coronavirus. It was not immediately known if Costco has pulled samples from all stores in the U.S. or only in select areas, or when the suspension would end. I am reporting they have pulled samples at their store up on Willow. Where is that? Is that Northbrook?
I guess it's Glenview.
Glenview, yeah. Mm-hmm. Costco says they're struggling to keep bottled water, disinfectants, and other critical supplies in stock as shoppers prepare to stock up. Some Costco locations have put limits on how much toilet paper or paper towels people can purchase. And in response to my complaining about no food there when I was around Saturday morning waiting for the free samples to come out, this text from 847, please let Bob know that for $1.50, he can buy a hot dog and drink at the Costco food court.
Page four.
In a deal with the United Center, Uber has opened an indoor lounge called Uber Zone near the stadium where riders can find their drivers. This is a good idea. Uber says it's the first permanent structure it has built to serve any sports and entertainment arena. Uber Zone will be able to accommodate up to 1,000 people and has seating, digital screens, and charging stations.
Stand by for news.
Very sad to learn over the weekend of the passing of Clark Weber, the legendary broadcaster, program director, ad exec, and industry elder statesman. He died of cancer in Evanston. He has made that his home for many, many years. Clark was 89. Ironic, that number, right? Where he was on the radio for so many years. And I really couldn't agree more with what Rick Kogan wrote in the Tribune, calling Clark Weber a professional and a gentleman to the core. And Rob Feeder put it well over the weekend as well, referring to Clark Weber as a pioneering rock and roll disc jockey in the 60s, and for decades later, a multifaceted talk show host. Clark Weber entertained generations of Chicago radio listeners with impeccable style, class, and professionalism. We'll replay a conversation Marianne and I had with Clark here on WGN Radio. I think it was it like 7 or 8 years ago, something like
2015.
That? 2015. Okay. He had announced his retirement, and he came on the radio with us, and we had a great discussion with Clark. We'll do that after 8 o'clock this morning. Also after 8 o'clock on our Facebook page, the one I share with Marianne, facebook.com/Serrata Murciano, we'll post an interview that I did with Clark just a few months ago for the soon-to-open Illinois Rock Museum in Joliet. We sat down and chatted for about 10 or 15 minutes about his career, so we'll get that posted as well. Clark was not only a great talent, but he was such a nice person. And in any comments about these stories that are on social media about Clark, they all read the same way. I had a chance to meet him. He was the nicest guy I ever met in my life. And the thing I loved about him, too, was he was such a cheerleader and mentor and fan of the folks who came after him. You know, he wasn't one of these guys who would walk around lamenting the fact that, well, back in my day, we did it better. Those were the good old days. He wasn't like that at all. He was very much supportive of all young broadcasters and always ready to help. And I had a chance actually to talk to Clark very briefly just a few days ago. And he as usual, was not interested in talking about himself or his condition. And what he said to me, I'll never forget. He just said, thank you for your friendship. And he was witty and lucid right to the end. Clark Weber, we will miss him.
Hi, everybody. This is Mother Weber's oldest son, Clark.
Yes, he was. And finally, we have one more item, don't we, Joe? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was using for the...
Oh, I see. Thank you. Okay. Wasn't expecting that. Saturday Night Live over the weekend featured Daryl Hammond, and he came out as Chris Matthews, who, of course, recently exited from MSNBC. Here's a little bit of that.
Welcome back to Hardball. I'm Chris Matthews. Tonight, my guest is Laura, a spooky blonde lady who lies to the elderly.
Ha! Chris, no, you're on my show.
Oh, I forgot. Force of habit. Maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this. You look great.
Chris, you can say whatever you want. It's Fox.
Oh, my God. The place is amazing. Everyone here is hot, crazy, or both.
Yeah. Now, you resigned after recent non-scandals, like comparing Bernie Sanders to Hitler. How do you respond? And remember, you can put it as crazy as you want to.
All right, here it goes. The race is down to Hitler and an ice cream cone to see who can beat the Michelin man. Back to you, girl, Hitler.
Welcome home. Thank you for joining us.
That was a hammer.
Yeah, pretty good. He sounded just like him, didn't he? I like that.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirois on WGN Radio.
Good day.
Coming up, Dr. Kevin Most, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine, joins us. And there are so many questions to be answered about the coronavirus. We'll get to as many of them as we can. And Dr. Most has some interesting things to say about where we're at now with the virus and how we need to take care of ourselves and who should be most concerned. We'll talk to him about that. And then after 7 o'clock this morning, do you remember Eric Soderholm? Dave, you remember Eric, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Well, Eric, of course, played with the Sox and a little bit with the Cubs, as I recall. I think he maybe one season, if I'm not mistaken. But he's got a very interesting business now. He deals, talking about health, it's called Soder World Wellness. And we'll talk to Eric about this. I remember years and years ago when I was still on FM radio, I used to have Eric on, and he would come up with poems, and he'd come on the radio with me and recite poems. Really interesting guy. He battled all sorts of injuries throughout his career, remember? And now he is he's into, I think it's, I don't know if he'd describe it as holistic healing, but it's very interesting. So we'll talk to Eric this morning after 7 o'clock.
He was part of the Southside Hitmen in 77 with Richie Zisk and, and that group, Oscar Gamble.
Right. Very personable guy, interesting, always fun. So it'll be very cool to catch up with Eric after 7 o'clock. And also, with what's happening in the markets, we need Terry Savage's expertise. We'll talk to her at about 7:48 this morning. So that's all coming up on WGN. And if you want to get in touch, 312-981-7200 is the number to call and text. And the email is set up for you. The address, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Here is Dr. Kevin Most, who is the chief medical officer at Northwestern. Are you ready to try to calm people down with this coronavirus stuff, Doc?
I hope so, Bob. I hope we just kind of take a step back, take a deep breath, and relax a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the numbers, and am I correct in saying that for most of us, even if we get it, we would end up with minimal or minor symptoms?
Exactly. You know, even the number that they're touting right now, which is 80% of people will have minimal symptoms, that's not even knowing, you know, for any kind of percentage, you have to know the numerator and the denominator. We don't even know the true denominator. This could be closer to 90, 95, 97% of people will have minor symptoms, just like we see with the four common coronaviruses that we're seeing now.
We just got a text from someone, a teacher, who said, normally when I wake up with a cold or a sore throat or a runny nose, I go to work. Should I refrain from going to work now?
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting and great question that we're seeing a lot of people asking right now. And it's interesting that they're asking it this year and they haven't asked it in years prior, right? Mm-hmm. So someone with true influenza, you know, with high fevers and body aches, do we want them to go to work and spread the disease? Probably not. I don't want to work around somebody who is ill, especially if I'm in close contact with them. If someone has a common cold and we say, hey, you know what, as long as you're not feeling too bad and as long as you use protection yourself, washing your hands, not trying to spread it, I'm saying, boy, if it's a common cold where you really don't have a fever and you just have a little runny nose and a slight cough, boy, those are the ones that we should still be treating the same way we normally would, but just know where you work and is it an environment where you're not going to be spreading it. But I wouldn't tell everybody with a cold to stay home at this time.
When should someone get tested for the coronavirus?
Yeah, that's the other interesting point. You know, we're all talking about, wait, why do we not have all these millions of tests available? And I just kind of even asked myself, you know, if I had a little bit of a cold, would I want to get tested? And the reason that people should be getting tested is if they are going to be put into a situation where they could expose someone who we would be concerned about. In other words, if you're a young family with three young kids and you have a cold running through your house, should you be tested? You know, only if you're going to go visiting grandma and grandpa or someone that's immunocompromised, you know, because that's the concern of the group that we're concerned about, is that's the individual that we want to protect this disease from, yet it's still going to be running through the community quite rampantly, I would think, soon.
Spring vacation time is here, and people are canceling a lot of trips. Doc, would you feel comfortable flying with your family right now?
Yeah, Bob, you know what? I fly every month. I have plans trips for the next 6 months. Every month I fly to North Carolina. I will continue to do that. I will make sure that I take protective measures as far as getting on the plane. But I wouldn't go on a cruise right now, to be honest with you. You know, if you look what's happened with cruise ships, and not only with coronavirus, if you look at what's happened with cruise ships with the norovirus, you're in this contained environment where you really can't escape, and it kind of spreads quickly through that environment. But as far as myself and would I travel at this time? Absolutely, and depends on where you're going and how you're going to define family. Family for spring break should not include grandma and grandpa this year. You know, this should be a year that if you're going to go on a vacation, let's make sure that we allow the people that, if they do get this disease, are going to have mild symptoms and are going to be able to get over it. And then just do all the smart things that we should be doing anytime during cold and flu season if you're going to travel on an airplane. Clean the environment as much as you can around you. If you have the opportunity to pick a seat, pick a window seat, pick an aisle seat, minimize the number of possible exposures around you. So cleaning down the environment, you know, people don't even think, oh, I'm going to clean the tray table, I'm going to clean the armrest, but then they don't clean the buckle. Then they don't clean the thing in the seat back in front of them. Then they don't even think about when they get up to go to the bathroom about cleaning the handle, you know. So we have to be super vigilant right now if we're all going to be concerned about this. And again, I'm saying we should be concerned about protecting ourselves from influenza right now.
And as far as grandma and grandpa, you mentioned, if an older person does not have any kind of serious pre-existing condition, if they're relatively healthy, would you still caution them about certain travel?
I would. You know, right now, as we age, our immune system drops, doesn't work as well. That's why individuals with influenza, it's much more serious. With any illness, it's much more serious. We don't know enough about this disease. We can look at the number of fatalities and look at them and say, wow, okay, almost everybody here is, you know, older in age with comorbidities, whether it be diabetes or heart disease. But we still don't know enough about it right now. So I would be hesitant, knowing that that's the vulnerable population, to put anybody in exposure risk there.
Continuing our conversation with Northwestern's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Kevin Most. And Doc, let's talk a little bit about our immune system, the body's natural defense mechanisms to fight disease, and what we can do to boost it. Right now would be a good time.
Absolutely. You know, I think this is one of the, like you're saying, let's try to slow down the hysteria a little bit. And I say, well, let's also try to make sure that we take some personal ownership of what we can do for ourselves as well as what we can do for others. And if we do the right things, we can boost not only our immune system, but the immune system of those around us in our families. But, you know, something as simple as getting enough sleep. You know, no one, I shouldn't say no one, but the vast majority of our individuals that live in this country do not get enough sleep. If I asked you, did you get 8 hours of sleep last night, you're probably going to laugh. You know?
8 hours for the week, maybe.
Exactly. But we know that sleep is so important for our immune system. So this is an opportunity to at least get enough sleep. We talk about washing hands, and everyone's like, oh, gosh, I went to Target, and they ran out of the 80% alcohol gel. What am I going to do? Soap and water is great, you guys, and it's not anything special. It's how long you wash your hands. Most people wash their hands for 5 seconds. Wash your hands for 20 to 30 seconds with soap and water, and it's as good as the hand gels that you're seeing that you can't find right now.
What about foods we should be eating or supplements? What can we do in that department to help our immune systems?
Absolutely. And if you look at the diets of many of us right now, they're not that great. You know, we're doing fast foods. We're doing things that probably aren't good for us. But if you want to look at what do you need for your immune system, taking a multivitamin is certainly helpful, but let's make sure we try to get some of this in our foods as well. So citrus foods, you know, Linus Pauling was a big advocate of vitamin C. And a lot of people, when they get ill, they say, oh, you know what, I'm not feeling really well, I'm going to take vitamin C. Well, it would be nice if you took vitamin C beforehand, because we know that that's part of the vitamin structure that we need to build our immune system. Vitamin C is a vitamin that we don't store. Vitamins D, E, A, and K we store in our fat. The other vitamins we don't store, so you need those on a daily basis. So whether you're taking citrus fruits, and if you don't like citrus, then red bell peppers are extremely high in vitamin C. But then you're also getting the fiber benefit for colon cancer, so things along those lines as well.
And what's happening with the vaccine? That's probably still a year away at best, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, President Trump misspoke a couple of times, you know, and said, oh, we're very close to having a vaccine. We should have a vaccine shortly. We have to understand a couple things about the vaccine. One is not only the production of it, but you at least have to test it to make sure that it works. We don't want to roll out this huge number of vaccine and then find out that it really adds no value. So one is going to be the time to test it as well as the production of it. How are we going to produce this? Where are we going to produce it? And where are we going to produce it so that it doesn't impact the number of influenza vaccinations that we have for next year, because we know how many we need to protect the rest of the world for an illness that causes a lot more deaths currently than what coronavirus is doing right now.
What's the best advice about public events, Doc? I mean, there are concerts, there are sporting events. I talked to a friend of ours over the weekend who urged her daughter not to go to a concert right now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, seven people have tested positive in Chicago. Are there other people out there? Absolutely. We know that there's some community transmission as well. So a couple things. One, there's a social distancing aspect of it. If you go to a big crowded event, you certainly can't stay 6 feet away from people. But in most public events like that, if someone's coughing anywhere near you, you can get up and move. So at least be aware of your surroundings. But I think it's disappointing when you look at Major League Baseball at spring training telling their players, don't sign autographs for kids because we don't want you that close to them. If you look at the statistics and you try to do the math to figure out what your chance of exposure is, right now it's very low. Will that go up? It certainly will. But should we be canceling the Olympics? Should we be canceling the Final Four and just letting, you know, the players play, you know, in an empty arena? I think that we probably have gone a little bit overboard at that point. And I think it's really take good care of yourself, get your immune system where it can be, know your surroundings, clean your environment as much as you can. And now it's time for us to start to look at how we are going to protect those who are the most vulnerable. Those seniors with comorbidities, individuals who are on cancer treatments, individuals with COPD or diabetes. Let's look on how we're going to protect them and make sure that you take your own personal ownership to do everything you can for yourself, as well as who you're going to expose yourself to.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine. It's almost 6:54. Are most of the experts now agreed that this won't necessarily get better because of warmer weather?
You know, Bob, that's what everyone, I hate to say it, that science right now won't tell us if that's going to happen, but I can tell you there's a lot of people with their fingers crossed right now in hope that this runs similar to what we see with influenza, where we'll see the number of cases drop dramatically. If that were to occur, that's great. It buys you some time. It allows you to get your hands around this a little bit more closely. The unfortunate thing is this community transmission where someone without symptoms can still spread it. We still see influenza all summer long. We just don't see as many cases. We see much lower number of cases. So it's still, the disease would still be out there and still be present. But if we drop those numbers, two things. You keep your fingers crossed and hope it doesn't mutate to a different virus by the next season, but it also buys you some time to make sure that we can care for those who are ill.
Do we know yet if someone who gets the virus will then develop an immunity and will not need a vaccine?
It's a great question. So if you look at the vaccinations and say, well, wait a second, I get the polio vaccine, and I get measles vaccine, but I only get that once. And boy, if I've had a disease, do I have an immune, is my body already made an immune system for it? So do I even need the vaccination? That's one big question. And the other big question I look at is, look at the number of people that get influenza shots in our country. Less than 50%. And yet we know that that's a disease that hospitalizes 280,000 people a year and causes 30,000 deaths. And yet our vaccination rate is under 50% for that known illness. Why do we think everyone who's going to be rushing to get this vaccine, when for 80-85% of the people, all you're going to get is mild symptoms? So we need to make sure that if we do have the vaccine, that we're giving it to the right individuals, which is going to be those seniors as well as those who are immunocompromised.
Let's get in a quick question here from Steve on the line. Good morning. What's your question for Dr. Most, Steve?
Good morning, gentlemen. Mike, I'm a rideshare driver. I drive for one of the companies in Chicago. My concern, doctor, is this. I have a passenger or two directly behind me and sometimes right beside me. I know that's a risk I'm taking, but how big of a risk is it? I do sanitize the vehicle. I wipe everything down after the customers leave. Mm-hmm. But they are within proximity of me in a closed car in the winter, obviously. Yeah. What do you recommend for the rideshare drivers? There's thousands of us out here. Very concerned.
Good question.
Absolutely, Steve. And I think that you're doing the right things because they are sitting within 3 to 6 feet of you. So if they're coughing and sneezing and hacking, are those viral particles actually being in your car? The 100% they are. But I also want to make sure that you understand, let's make sure that even before coronavirus, I hope you were doing the exact same thing in early December.
Yes, sir.
Spread that. Yep. And the other thing is for you guys, try not to touch your face. You can't clean your car enough probably if you have people coughing and sneezing right in the front unless you really wiped it down really well. But try not to touch your face. You wearing a mask is not going to do anything except fear for your passengers. But I mean, if you do wash your hands, use the gel between rides, clean the car as much as you can, you're doing everything you can to mitigate your exposure.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks, Dr. Most. I'm going to have a salad today, Doc, and there's going to be citrus fruit in there, red bell peppers, garlic, spinach, kiwi, and if I can find a vitamin D capsule, I'll do that, or I'll stick my head in the sun today. How's
you
that?
You got it. You got it, Bob. Those are all the good things.
Thanks. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care.
It's 7:11. How about a little quick break from all the news about the coronavirus and the financial markets? I brought something in from the Bob Surratt record collection today because it was on this date in 2011, March 9th, that Phil Collins cleared up rumors about why he was retiring. Speculation had included health problems, bad reviews, depression, an interest in devoting time to his collection of Alamo memorabilia. But at the time, Phil Collins stated the real reason, so he could be a full-time father to his two young sons on a daily basis. So I brought in something from Genesis this morning, and they are going on tour. They just announced a 10-date reunion. They'll be in the UK and Ireland, their first tour since 2007. Are they coming to America? Yeah, probably. Haven't announced it yet. Hope so. This will be Phil Collins' first tour since 2007, first time playing since he suffered nerve damage that makes it impossible for him to drum or even stand for long periods of time. It'll be their first tour with Phil Collins' teenage son, Nick, on drums. So again, no concerts in the U.S. announced yet, but as Rolling Stone said, it's hard to imagine Genesis going to all this trouble for just 10 concerts in the UK and Ireland. Will they ever have a full reunion with Peter Gabriel? Who knows? People didn't think they were going to get together even without Peter Gabriel again. So maybe. 7:14. Where is he now, Eric Soderholm? Well, he's with us, and we'll talk to the former White Sox star from that great 77 season about what he's doing now to keep everybody healthy. Good timing. Who can ever forget 1977 on the South Side? The Hitmen, Eric Soderholm at third base, hitting .280, 25 home runs. Well, we can't forget Eric, and here he is. Good morning, Mr. Soderholm. How you doing?
I haven't talked to you in, gosh, hello.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
It has
time.
Been a while.
I want to bring people
but
up.
I do see on Facebook a lot.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Mrs. Surratt makes me post all the time. Let's talk about the answer to the question, where is Eric Soderholm now? Because you've got something going on in Willowbrook that should be of interest to everybody right now because we're all trying to stay healthy. And that's what you're all about these days, isn't it?
I've kind of gone into my third stage of life, and I got into this whole thing when I was about 52. My daughter was all into the healing aspect of things, and she's a very spiritual girl, and I wasn't. I was very ego-driven at that time, and she called me one day, and she was going to school out there at San Diego School of Healing Arts, and said, "Dad, I'm got a job working for Deepak Chopra." And I said, "Who's that?" I had no idea. And make a long story short, that's what started me on my path of wellness, and I started getting some of his books, and then from Deepak, I went to Wayne Dyer, and then Carolyn Mace, and Marianne Williamson, Course in Miracles, and I just kind of slowly transformed my life around from a very ego-driven life to more of an awareness of who I really was. And then she called me a couple years later and said, "Dad, we gotta do what he's doing in the Midwest." And I said, "Well, I was kind of getting burnt out with the ticket business. That was my second phase of life, and selling tickets with front row tickets. You may remember that."
Mm-hmm.
And and so we opened up in a shopping center with 1,000 square feet, kind of a build it and they will dream kind of they will come kind of dream theory, and they did. And so it just kept growing, and we kept expanding, and then there's some great stories I can share with you, but they take up a little more airtime than we want, I think. But ended up with a place called Soda World, right off of near Bear Ridge, right in near Willowbrook, there off of Stevenson Expressway near Route 83. And we built a big A-frame log cabin building, and I just wanted to create a place where people with open minds could come and maybe learn how to try different modalities to help them heal themselves, help them work on themselves, you know, and find that specialness that's within all of us and find that peace. And so I've been on a journey of finding peace, and I think I finally arrived at that point. And, man, my life is just so wonderful now. I've got a beautiful family, and I can't tell you how many times all day people come by and say, "Oh, thanks for creating this place. You know, you've given us a safe haven to come and work on ourselves through either meditation or yoga or professional massage or chiropractic care." And I mean, on and on and on with the different modalities that we offer people. So I feel like I finally am at my dharma in life, or purpose in life. And wasn't a Major League Baseball player, although that gave me a great platform to build what we've built now.
Well, you know what you say, Eric, that you've left the ego behind now, and you see things from a spiritual perspective, and that's what you're doing. But I remember years ago, I used to come on my FM radio show in the morning and do poetry. So I think you always had it in you.
Yeah, remember that poem I wrote, "A Warm Day in August," and it ended in a surprise ending. And man, that did more for my career than any home run I could have ever hit, for sure. I was very popular on the speaking circuit there for a while doing that poem. But, it's been a, Bobby, for you and I both have had great lives. I've had just a great run. I mean, how many people can say that they had a life where they, were able to do what they love doing and get paid for it, number one. And then number two, not even knowing anything about the business world and then getting into ticket business by an accident. That's another long story. And then that growing into a multi-million dollar business. And then StubHub came along and kind of destroyed that. But then we moved, it's just another chapter in your life that the door kind of ends. And so you look forward to the opportunity of creating a new chapter. And that happened with my daughter, Misty. And it was just, I'm so grateful for the fabulous life that I've been able to live. So, and I'm sure you too.
Yep.
Hey, Eric, good morning. What's your take on these White Sox this year? An awful lot of optimism about this team.
There certainly is. I have to admit that the competition world I've kind of faded away from. I hate to even admit that I did not go to one Sox game last year. Went to a couple the year before and a couple the year before that. I just, I don't know, baseball, it's funny. It was a great game to play, and I love doing it. But to watch, to me, it's kind of long and a little bit on the boring side now. But I shouldn't probably say that, but it does. I will pick up a game on the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning or something like that. But to watch it from the first pitch to the last pitch, it's, I don't know. I don't know if I have I don't know if I have it in me anymore to watch that anymore. But as far as answering your question, there is great optimism. I think they've done a nice job of acquiring some nice free agent help over this winter. Combined with the young talent that they have, there's no reason that this team shouldn't win their division for sure. If it may, probably might even go farther if their pitching holds up.
Eric, you shouldn't look at baseball as being boring or dull. You should look at it with what you're doing now as an opportunity to meditate while you're at the ballpark. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's the perfect environment for meditation. People yelling in your ear right next to you.
By the way,
it's supposed to be more of a quiet type of situation.
I forgot. I mentioned a Cubs connection. You didn't play for them, but you were scouting for them for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, I had hurt my knee real bad in a charity soccer game in 1981, and was trying to make a comeback from that, my second comeback. I had already come back in 77, as you know, and won the Comeback Player of the Year award with the White Sox, but I was trying to make a comeback, and Dallas Green gave me a shot at spring training, and I lasted. Trained with Bob Guida, who was a famous trainer here in Illinois, and I was in great shape, but the constant pounding on the knees, it just weren't holding up, and I got so tired of taking cortisone shots in my knees, you know, just to keep me out on the field, and I just said, well, you know, you got to do something. And I had a long talk with myself. Well, what am I good at? I knew how to do one thing in my life, and that was it, and that was play baseball. Well, and now I'm at a crossroads where, oh, my God, what do I do now?
Right. Well,
and so the only thing I knew was baseball. So Dallas gave me a job as an assistant to him in the scouting department after I decided to hang up my spikes. But I realized quickly there wasn't a lot of money on that end of the game, so I had to get into the business world.
Well, we're so happy that the answer to the question, where is Eric Soderholm now, is Sodder World in Willowbrook for more than 20 years, providing a body, mind, and spirit sanctuary. And glad everything's going well. You sound terrific and fun to catch up with you. I hope to see you down the road soon, Eric.
Well, Bob, I'd love to have you come out to the center, and I know the owner, so I could probably get you set up with a great professional massage for free. So.
Sounds like a good idea. We're all trying to stay healthy these days. All the best to you. Thanks for chatting this morning, and come on down to the station one of these days.
You know, I will. It just this morning wasn't a good morning for me to do that, but I appreciate you letting me call in and get a little promotion for the place. It's always great to get that free promotion, so thank you so much. I enjoy meeting you, Bobby, years ago, and I hope you take me up on my offer to come out to Sodder World and get your free massage.
You got it. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, guys.
We've got a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the San Jose Sharks on Wednesday. Let's give them away. Would you like to? Here's how we'll do it. First person to call in with the correct answer to this question. Who were we just talking to a few minutes ago from the 1977 Chicago White Sox? The famous Hitmen, the Southside Hitmen, who was on the radio with us a few minutes ago. First person to call in with that gets the tickets to see the Blackhawks, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 741. And Terry Savage, financial guru, just posted this. Today will be memorable and ugly. Stock markets around the world have fallen more than 5%, and the U.S. futures are locked limit down with a loss of 5%. The Dow itself is likely to fall more than that at the opening since it is not constrained by those limits. We'll talk to Terry here in about 5 minutes or so, get her take on this and her advice right here on WGN.
Yeah, Bob, it'll be interesting if I could interject here mm-hmm. with the markets, and
yep.
you can ask Terry about this, but one of the things that happens is if after the opening bell, if things start going south really badly, so 7%, if the stocks drop 7% and then at 13%, trading can actually be halted for 15 minutes each when that happens. So at the opening bell, if we are down, let's say, 7% shortly after the opening, trading will be halted for 15 minutes. And then it will pick up again. Trading would be halted for the day if there was a decline of more than 20%. So those are sort of the benchmarks. So it'll be 7%, 13%, and then 20%.
So that would be 8:30 our time, right?
8:30 our time.
Thank you, Steve. I I am going to do my part to stop the panic about this. You know what I'm going to do? Tell me if you think this isn't a bad idea. I'm going to walk around for at least this week, and I'm not going to wash my hands. I'm going to touch doorknobs with my tongue. I'm going to get within 6 feet of everybody I know. If somebody's coughing or sneezing, I'm going to get right in their face. And then if I don't get sick, I will prove the panic is unwarranted. I'll be touching my face all week, right? And then everybody will calm down.
Yeah, and you'll be working here by yourself.
Yeah. Please don't do that,
I certainly
Bob.
Will not be in the studio with you.
Please don't do that.
Or you will be sprayed in the face with Lysol.
I guess the staff is not going to go along with
no.
that. Here's Ryan from Lockport. Ryan, who are we just talking to?
Eric Soderholm.
Ding, ding, ding.
It was good to hear him, wasn't it? Eric? I mean, Ryan, are you there? Don't leave
me
now.
Sorry about that.
Okay. You doing another show there on the side? You calling other people? Participating in other contests? What?
Pulling off to the side of the road so I can talk to you.
Okay. Good man. You're safe. Where are you right now, Ryan?
Right now I'm in Oak Forest heading to work.
Got any rain out your way?
Yeah, a little bit of drizzle. Not too bad, though.
Where do you work?
I work for Total Home Health. It's a home health company.
Mm-hmm. I bet business is good right now.
It is. Healthcare is a great industry to be in right now.
Yep. And we're going to get you tickets to see the Blackhawks on Wednesday night, courtesy Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Way to go, Ryan.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll get you back on the road after we get all the information we need to get you those tickets. Thanks for listening. And you can listen to John Williams today, a little after 9, for another chance to win Blackhawks tickets. Thanks to Four Seasons. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com. Tribune this morning, Terry Savage writing The Savage Truth. The headline, stock market tumbled different this time. It will have a more lasting effect on the stock market than many expect. For more, here's Terry. Good morning, Terry. Are you staying away from open windows on higher floors today?
My son's in New York. I said that's exactly the advice I gave him. You know, that column was actually written about 4 or 5 days ago, and I just posted an update before the opening today, calling it saying this is going to be an ugly and very memorable day. You and I have talked about this now. I'm so glad you're on the air in the mornings and we get to talk. I've been saying this, as you well know, for a month or more, that people who are in retirement or close need to have liquidity, chicken money. Now you know why.
Yep. Well, all right, so what happens now? I mean, outside of not looking at your portfolio, if you can wait and you're not of retirement age right now and need it right now, what are folks to do?
Well, watch this. Let's see what's happened overnight first. Overnight, I mean, it was a quiet weekend, really quiet. And then about midnight, I started seeing the overnight markets in Asia collapsing 5%, Europe down 5 or 6%. Part of it, let me just give you these bullet points so you understand what you have to think about when you know when you're trying to figure out what to do. Oil, there's an oil war going on between Saudi Arabia and Russia, and American producers are getting hit hardest. I don't know what kind of fight they had, but Saudi Arabia said, hey, you know what? We're not going to cut back on production, so there's going to be a glut. Combine that with the coronavirus effects of airline flights being canceled, cruises being canceled, and demand is down. So oil plunged below $30 a barrel overnight. Interest rates. The world's scared money came to buy U.S. 10-year Treasury notes, IOUs from the government, that had been yielding a year ago over 2%. Overnight, they got down to 0.34%, less than 0.5%. They're still down. Interest rates to less than 0.5%. Savers, that means you're going to earn zero nothing in your money market deposit accounts, but keep the money there because it's safe. And the rest of the world has come to the U.S. to buy our IOUs. And what it shows is the Fed can't do anything. What are they going to do to stop this market collapse? Cut interest rates? No, they'll be below zero. All of that led to the stock market, which is going to open shortly, being down. The futures can only go down so far overnight trading, only 5%. but this is kind of technical, but exchange traded funds for the S&P and the Dow don't have that limit. So they're down about 6.5%, which means the market's likely going to open down around 1,500 points.
Well,
so there.
Gas is going to be cheaper for a while soon, isn't it?
and mortgages will be cheaper. I love you because you want the silver lining.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things that won't happen so fast. I mean, you know, we've talked about this over the years, as a matter of fact. Gas, we used to have this whole debate on the noon business hour many years ago, how no matter what crude oil was doing in the summer, gas prices went up because they could.
Yep.
They knew people drive. Yeah, there won't be that many people driving this year, and don't expect gas prices to plummet so quickly, but they should come down. And mortgage rates. I mean, the banks just don't know how to adjust right now. Theoretically, you should be getting, and I think you will, a 30-year mortgage for under 3%. And I think before all this is over, we're going to have people refinancing into 30-year fixed rates and under 3%. Right now, you can get a 15-year fixed rate mortgage at 2.75% easily. Well, probably less than that soon.
You know, we were talking earlier about how daylight saving time begins, and then every year, the experts say it brings on a temporary increase for heart attack and stroke. The Monday following the time switch, often the day medical personnel see that spike in cases. I think there's going to be a lot more after the market opens today. And I know from reading your column today, Terry, that you think it's going to be a while before we recover from all this, because even after we get a handle on the coronavirus, the economic consequences of this all around the world are vast and growing, aren't they?
Exactly. So that is the difference between this time and all the times when we've gotten used to seeing market volatility. Admittedly, this is scary, but last week, God, we had all those swings of 1,100 points up and down and 1,200 points. But I think we have to look past just the volatility of the market action to say, wait a minute, things have really changed around the world, not just in China, but in Italy, in Europe, and now even in the U.S. in terms of events being canceled here in Chicago. Of course, so many conventions, but everything from tennis tournaments to talking about playing basketball in empty stadiums. And it's just not what we see on the surface, but all the people whose jobs are impacted. So I think this could last longer from an economic point of view. And then I think people have forgotten what bear markets look like. I mentioned that in the column that's in the paper today. I lived through, you know, think about Japan. In the 90s, when the market boomed, or the 80s, late 80s, Japan's bear market lasted 15 years. Our bear market in the 70s, the Dow was under 1,000, dropped from over 1,000 to 600 in the early 70s. It was still under 1,000 in 1982. 10 years where people went, what stock market? People weren't even thinking about it. So over the long run, I think we get past this. And I don't change my advice, as scary as it will be now coming up, but I think that people who are younger and working have to stick with the plan and keep investing, because America will be around. But I've been so concerned about people who thought, whoa, I'm 2 years from retirement, I've got just enough. If the market's down 12% now, Bob, as of last Friday night. So let's say we're talking about it opening down maybe 6 or 7%. I don't know where it'll close. But that will put you down about 20%, which is the official definition of a bear market. But the average bear market is down 33%. I've lived through a couple that have been down almost 50%. So I'm asking people to think about it. Will you look back and say, I wish I had sold when it was only down 20%? Not if you're young. You want to keep buying. But if you need to take RMDs, you know, the distributions and so forth, I don't think that today is the end of it, is what I'm trying to say. I'm not a prognosticator of the stock market tops and bottoms. I just try and deal with risk management and the practicalities of life.
Terry Savage, we'll keep checking in with you, Terry, if you promise to always have at least one bit of silver lining good news each time we speak.
Line and go look to a refi. Not this week. The banks are probably shell-shocked, but by next week, you're going to get a bargain in your mortgage. And if you have a home equity loan that's floating, time to refinance that into your mortgage and lock it in for a long time at these low rates.
And more at TerrySavage.com. As always, good talking to you, Terry. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
10 after 8, Dean Richards on Entertainment Now, sponsored by Drury Lane Theater. Good morning, Dean. Did you know Clark Weber well, Dean?
I interviewed him half a dozen times, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that my greatest relationship with him was growing up in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
when he was on WLS and playing all the Beatles songs and, you know, hosting the Beatles concert at Comiskey Park back in 1965. I was a huge fan of his when I was a kid, and you know, as a kid who wanted to be a DJ, you looked up to those guys and, you know, emulated them, imitated them, and I certainly did. And I got to know him. We worked at a couple of stations together, and got to know him through that. But you know, he was just one of the most talented people on the air, but off the air was 100 times nicer. Just a super, super great guy, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, Lyle Dean, who knew him very well, very close to the family, is quoted in Rick Kogan's Tribune obit here about Clark. Lyle said he was easy to be friends with, as so many thousands heard on and off the air, and he never acted his age, an endearing quality that probably rubbed off on those who knew him. And even in the final days, Lyle said he was still quick with a humorous quip. His sense of humor stayed with him through his journey. He told Lyle that one of his goals was to live to 89, just like his signature radio jingle. And
Clark Weber, 89.
I talked to him just a few days ago, and he was lucid, and that voice was still the golden right to the end. And he was just a man's man, a gentleman, a pro's pro, a class all the way.
Great, but great sense of humor also.
Yep.
The 50th anniversary of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, I went out to his house and interviewed him at his house for the morning news. And he couldn't have been funnier and nicer and more respectful and, you know, put out refreshments for us. He was just,
he was
just the best guy.
The best. And we're going to replay a conversation we had with him here on WGN from about 5 years ago. And we'll do that coming up shortly. There's another passing in the news
today. This one just announced a few minutes ago, and that is of the legendary Max von Sydow, the Swedish actor who was so associated with Ingmar Bergman films, movies like The Passion of Anna and Shame, but also movies like The Greatest Story Ever Told, in which he played Jesus Christ. He was the older priest in The Exorcist. He was in Hannah and Her Sisters and 3 Days of the Condor. Conan the Barbarian, more recently, he was in some Game of Thrones. He was in Star Wars. He had a small role. Director J.J. Abrams was a big fan and put him in the last Star Wars movie. So he was 90 years old and passed away yesterday.
And also, it seems like every day we have a cancellation in the entertainment world because of the coronavirus. What now?
Yeah, a couple. There was going to be a Lifetime Achievement event put on by the American Film Institute honoring Julie Andrews. That's been postponed until later on this year. Singer Ciara was supposed to do a concert, actually in her hometown in Texas. And that has also been postponed. She's pregnant, and her doctor has recommended that she not do any air travel right now and that she restricts her exposure to large groups of people right now. But it's happening everywhere. Justin Bieber, I know you were looking forward to, you know, Bob, I don't know if you know, travels around the country following Justin Bieber.
I'm a Biebhead. What do they call themselves?
A Belieber.
A Belieber, that's what I am.
Yeah, you are a Belieber. He's taken all of his shows that were in arenas inside venues, and he's moving them to outside venues so there's more air, I guess. Also, ticket sales are not going that well in these arenas, so they're trying to downsize the events as well. So, I mean, that's part of what's going on as well. It's it's happening everywhere. You know, huge events, small events, concerts, plays. I've been in contact with all the theaters, with movie theaters, concert venues. No cancellations, anything here in the Chicago area yet.
And finally, breaking Dollywood news from Dean Richards.
This is the greatest. Dolly Parton has just turned 74 years old, and she was being interviewed by 60 Minutes Australia, in which she says that she has no plans of ever retiring, that she just wants to continue singing for as long as she's able to do it. But her number one goal next year, when she turns 75, is to recreate the cover that she did for Playboy magazine back in the 1980s, in which she appeared in the famous Playboy bunny, you know, the little bunny ears and the bunny outfit. This was actually 1978, to be exact. She was 32 years old then. And she says she doesn't know if Playboy is up for putting a 75-year-old woman on the cover of their magazine in a Playboy bunny suit. But that's what she wants to do for her 75th birthday.
Hey, we're all for it, aren't we?
We're all for it. That's right.
All right. It's Dean Richards making way for our Clark Weber replay. We'll do that after a quick break. And, Dean, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Great. Can't wait to hear it.
A while back, Clark Weber announced he was retiring. And I wanted to know why. That's the first question I asked him. This is a bit of the conversation Marianne and I had with him here on WGN back in 2015, beginning with my question, why?
Why am I quitting or why am I showing up on this show?
Both, as a matter of fact. Yes. Why the last interview? Why the last anything?
What do you mean, the last interview?
This is it. This is it, yes.
Why?
I'm finding that I just don't have the strength of the energy anymore, Marianne. I just, the offers keep coming in to do shows or to do give talks, and my ego says, yeah, let's do it. My common sense says, no, I think it's time that you stand down. And as Bob Hope had said, it's time to step away when you can still hear the applause from your dressing room.
I mean, look, your move from rock and roll in the 60s and 70s on Ellis and CFL into talk radio, WIND, other places, and then your own ad agency and so forth and so on. What phase of all this did you enjoy most?
I enjoyed all of it. I did. But like you, because you made the same move that I did, you moved from rock and roll into television. And the same reason, there were challenges, and rock and roll began to get a little old. I was 38 years old and still playing She's Real Fine 409, and that was getting a little redundant. I didn't want to be a one-trick pony.
And, well, you certainly succeeded in that department. You came to Chicago from Milwaukee, first night on the air here, the overnight show, September of 61. What was your career plan when you first came here as a young man?
Well, when I first came to Chicago, it was totally by accident. I was working with a fellow named Gene Taylor and Sam Holman, who were working with me on a station in Milwaukee. And Sam got very drunk one night and made a scurrilous remark to a parking lot attendant who picked up a tire chain and was going to decapitate Sam. And I whistled. I saw a squad car go by, and I whistled. The squad car came over and broke up the fight.
This was in Milwaukee?
In Milwaukee.
And he was a radio executive
right
at your station?
And Sam said, "You just saved my life. I'll never forget you." Well, about a year later, he called me in Milwaukee and said, "Hey, this is Sam Holman." And I said, "Don't tell me I've got to save your life again." No, he said, "I'm going to save your career. I want you to come down here to WLS." There are still black scorch marks on Highway 41 in Milwaukee leading to Chicago where I floored it to get down here.
Couldn't wait to get here,
and
huh?
And it's been a good ride.
I've forgotten how many daughters? Four?
Four. Wall-to-wall daughters. Yes.
Yeah. And you talk about not much time left. Well, you know what? I just read about the woman who ran the marathon at age 96,
yes,
I think?
Yes.
And no reason why you can't shoot for that these days.
Well, they think denial is a river in Egypt, you know.
He's got a million of them.
Like the man who several years ago walked across the street at the Wrigley Building, went in to see a psychiatrist, and he said, "Doc, I've got a problem." And the psychiatrist said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I keep singing Green, Green Grass of Home." The doctor said, "Well, that's not unusual. That's called the Tom Jones syndrome." And the guy said, "Is it common?" And the doctor said, "It's not unusual."
Clark taught me a long time ago, when you don't have an answer, come up with a one-liner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a little sample here of what was on your radio, maybe your transistor, back in the 60s.
Hi, everybody. This is Mother Weber's oldest son, Clark, on the old sounds of Channel 89 Radio, and we'd like to pause right about now and say hello to a group of friends of ours that are holed up at Bruce's place tonight. The entire gang throwing the cast party from the Evanston Township High School. Gang, many happy returns of the evening to you, and hope you enjoy this sound.
How about Bruce's place? Have you been there lately?
Yes, yeah. Hi, everybody. This is Mother Weber's oldest son, Clark, on the old Channel 89.
See, you still got it.
You sound exactly the same. Yeah. When you hear yourself, when you hear that, does it take you all the way back
immediately?
Does. Yes,
it does.
What do you think about?
I had only been here about a week or two, and it was like any radio station you go to when it's new. Boy, it's overwhelming.
So you were new, and then were people asking, well, who's Mother Weber?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I still get people asking about Mother Weber. I really do. They say, was she real? Oh, yes, she was real.
Well, of course.
Yes,
had to be.
Yeah. Had to be.
Here's a voice from your past who left us with a little something, Clark, listen to this.
Hey, Chrome Dome. Well, you forgot I'm fooled again, huh? Hey, it's your old nemesis from WLS years in Chicago, Ron Riley, out to the east. I understand you're being coronated or something by the Illinois broadcasters. Oh, what'll they think of next? Seriously, congratulations to you, my friend. You've done some good radio. You're the man around town in Chicago, my hometown, and I'm very happy that you're getting into the Hall of Fame for the broadcasters. Have a great show this afternoon, along with Bob, and good luck to you. See you later.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know where he was broadcasting from? The Baltimore Radio Announcers Home for the Bland.
The Riley-Weber feud continues, or was it the Weber-Riley feud? I can't remember.
I got to tell you, every Monday when the cleaning lady comes in, they've got him in a rubber room, and he talks about, I used to be a star. I used to be a star.
That feud, so-called, that you guys had back in the day was probably a very, very good thing for your ratings in the day and Ron Riley's at night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, and that's why it was created. His kids at night would listen to me, and my adult audience in the morning would listen to him, so there was an ulterior motive to that, sure.
And you for a while were the program director.
Yes, I was his boss, which he used to tell people to, is a double SOB spelled backwards.
Well, Clark, I know you've said that this is it, but I know we're going to want you to come back here again sometime.
I know.
So
it's going to have to be like some anniversary or some...
Oh, speaking of anniversaries, and this is kind of interesting. I was thinking about this because I started on the Big 89 on June 8th of 1973. And I think one day I was talking to Clark, or maybe one of the other guys from the era that I grew up listening. And I started to ask the question, do you remember, and I was going to say, do you remember your first day on that station? Do you remember the date? And I didn't even get the sentence out when I think, Clark, you spit the date right back to me.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Everybody remembers.
Well, you can't forget that. I mean, it's to walk up this street, and we used to call it the Street of Dreams because there were so many people. Well, all the radio stations were here on Michigan Avenue. WIND was across the street. This one was here. LS was at the corner. JJD was just down the street. So was WIND. So you saw people who had big dreams and high hopes, and when they got to the street, this was where they wanted to be.
And your anniversary was September, right?
All right. September 30th, 1961.
Now all I have to do is remember our wedding anniversary, and I'll be okay.
That one requires some thought. We have one coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah? Yes. Wedding anniversary?
The 60th.
You're kidding.
No, 60
What's your
years.
Secret to staying with the same person for 60 years?
Well, I've been hard of hearing for a long time.
Thanks, Clark.
Thanks,
thank
Clark.
You.
Clark Weber from 5 years ago here on WGN. Ultimately, I idolized him not for those wonderful rock years that his warm voice became synonymous with, but ultimately I looked up to him for the encouragement, cheerleading, and mentoring he gave to the young generation of broadcasters who followed him. He was nothing but class on the air and off. Be careful out there. The risk of getting into a fatal car accident increases significantly the week after spring's daylight saving time switch, according to a study in Current Biology. They found that in the week after the switch, the risk of getting into a fatal accident increased by 6%, and they found the risk of fatal accidents after the time change is highest in the morning. Researchers concluded that sleep deprivation and circadian misalignment, or disruption of the circadian rhythm that regulates sleep-wake cycles, may cause the increase in fatal car accident risk. Also, an increased risk of heart attack on this Monday morning. See, I was right. It takes a while to reset. Even though my wife is tired of me walking around the house because my watch still has the old time, because this is what my body thinks it is right now, 7:42. I was right. Takes a while. You can't recover after just one day. It's impossible. Although I think, what's that, Dave?
It's not impossible.
It's impossible.
You just move on.
Well, I think I'm still affected by my Saturday morning at Costco, where people went crazy.
Well, that could be.
And not only did they go crazy, and they sold out of toilet paper. I don't want to say there was a run on toilet paper, you know what I mean? But they were out of toilet paper, you know, like by noon, and people had these giant shopping carts filled with paper towels, toilet paper, water, disinfectants, and there were no snacks anymore because they don't have the food samples anymore because of the coronavirus. So,
right. What about the giant-sized hummus or wine? They still had wine, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I after this craziness, then I was at Mariano's, and the guy said, well, we got plenty of toilet paper here. But I guess everybody wanted to go to Costco to stock up for the year. It's not Sunday morning, and I am not Jane Pauley. One of our favorite topics around here is sleep, or the lack of it. And Susan Spencer, longtime familiar correspondent and anchor at CBS News, did a really interesting feature on Sunday morning yesterday about napping. She joins us now. Good to talk to you, Susan Spencer. Hi.
Thank you very much. And I gather this is National Napping Day?
That's what they tell me. Yes, happy National Napping Day.
Happy National Napping.
One of the things I was thinking about after watching your story yesterday, the best time to take a nap is in the afternoon, not too late. We know that. But are the experts sort of divided as to how long that nap should be?
Most of them seem to come in around 20, 30 minutes. Much more than that, and you apparently get into a different form of sleep where you're much more likely to feel groggy and not refreshed, which is the whole point.
That's too short. That is too short, I think. But everybody's different, right?
Everybody's different. Some people hate naps. I mean, I don't know who they are, but supposedly some people just find them, you know, like being hit on the head with a 2x4. but for the vast majority of people, 20 to 30 minutes apparently has just some astonishing benefits.
Yeah, you talked about that. There is good scientific medical research backing up the fact that we should all take a nap, correct?
There absolutely is. There was last year there was a study that if you took a short nap twice a week, you were something like 48% less likely to suffer cardiovascular disease. Well, if somebody told you that, you know, here's this little pill that can make you that much less likely to have a heart attack, you'd probably be real interested. So there you are.
Yeah.
That's one of the more recent things. But also better memory. You think better. You have less frustration. I mean, these are NASA studies on pilots that showed that their performance was dramatically improved with a nap. It's so easy.
And I can't believe there's still a stigma about it. Really?
Well, there's a huge stigma about it. Federal workers are prohibited from sleeping in their office. Now, this is probably meant to discourage people living in the office, you know, but that would seem to be a pretty antiquated idea. You can just tell in the way we talk about naps, you know, you snooze, you lose, you're caught napping. This all has very negative connotations. And there's just, it shouldn't. Apparently, naps are very good for you.
Yeah, who is that big-time successful corporate honcho who has a napping room?
We talked to this guy. His name is Brian Halligan, and he has a software company. It's worth $8 billion. He has more than 3,000 employees, and he's a napper.
And he attributes some of his success to the fact that he can be refreshed by a little nap. So he set up what they call the Van Winkle Room. And employees sign up for it. It has a hammock in there. There are pictures on the wall of beaches. There's even a beach umbrella just for added ambiance. And the thing is oversubscribed. I mean, there's always someone in there.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know,
we want one of those here at WGN. I'm gonna cite your report and that guy when I go to the boss with that request.
But this is the problem, though. Wouldn't you feel sheepish saying, "Well, what if we had a nap room?" You know, it says got this connotation of being sort of, you know, you're lazy. And this guy, the $8 billion man's conviction, is that people's work is dramatically improved, and he benefits in the end.
Yeah.
Remember that when you crawl to your boss for a nap room.
I have no shame. I'm not afraid to request it. And I'll cite that guy because didn't he tell you, or was it somebody else who said they get ideas and work out problems after a nap?
He says that his most creative time is slowly going into the sleep state, and then when he comes out of it, and that's when he gets his most creative ideas. And he had this fascinating mental image. I couldn't believe that he shared this with us. But he said he pictures a little man with a mustache and a broom in his brain. And the little man, when he's asleep, goes in there and sweeps out all the debris and leaves room for all of these creative thoughts.
I would laugh
at the guy, except that he's got an $8 billion company. You know?
Yeah.
So
well,
he must be doing something right.
Yeah, that's ammunition for me to lobby, not just for a nap room at the radio station, but I'm going to argue that I should be allowed to take naps during the show here, because it'll make for a better broadcast.
Just tell people that you're going to be gone for 20 seconds. You can do it in your case.
did you guys decide to do this feature Sunday because of the time change?
Yeah, that was the peg for it. And the fact that, you know, sleep deprivation is a serious problem. I mean, it's a public health issue. There are about a third of people say they don't get what you're supposed to get, which is 7 hours a night. Most are getting 5 or 6. And, you know, we've got this huge sleep industry, something like $30 billion is spent on sleep products, sleep pajamas, sleep pillows, you know, all of this stuff, when the little nap could go a long way to solving some of these problems.
Well, it was a really interesting report, and all the reports on Sunday morning are great. It's the best show on television, CBS Sunday Morning. I've been lucky enough over the years to once in a while do a feature or an essay for your terrific executive producer, Rand Morrison. Say hi for us.
I know you have. Exactly. We will.
And
thank you very much. We, you know, it's like the Sunday paper used to be.
Yeah.
That's what we like to think of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm glad you enjoy it. It's we get to do stories like this that you really don't see too many other places.
Right.
Which I think is a good thing.
It's a great thing. And we're very fond of Jane Pauley here because we all know her from Chicago. So our best to her.
I'll pass that along.
Thank you, Susan. Good talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Susan Spencer from CBS News. We want to remind you, if you'd like to hear that Clark Weber interview again that we replayed, it's posted at WGNRadio.com. Also, we have a video interview that I did for the soon-to-be-open Illinois Rock Museum in Joliet. Actually, just a few months ago, we sat down with Clark and spoke to him, and we've got that up on our Facebook page, the one I have with Marianne, facebook.com/Serrata Murciano. You can see that interview with Clark Weber. And you can hear John Williams on the radio after the 9 o'clock news. Hi, John.
I was a kid in high school listening to WIND radio and thought,
oh, yeah,
boy, I'd sure like to be doing that someday. And Clark Weber was one of the guiding voices in my career.
People forget he did news talk after rock and roll.
It was, that was a pioneering station. WGN was and WIND was. And Clark was one of those great voices. Always will be.
Yep. Nice man and a real pro. So are you going to make sure the windows are locked here on the 18th floor if you're following the stock market today?
You know, I've got a question for a doctor about the virus, and that that is, if I have it and in the room and you don't have it, how do you get it? I'm thinking about people who are deciding to go or not to go to large gatherings or medium-sized gatherings. The president said he's going to keep holding his rallies. Bernie and Joe are still holding their rallies. And then schools are closing because somebody came into contact with somebody that came into contact with it. So what are the rules of engagement here? A doctor is going to answer that after the news.
I was watching to see if President Trump was pulling out Purell at these rallies. I haven't seen it yet, though.
He's going boldly. He's a germphobe, and yet there he is. So we'll answer the questions for you and keep you posted. Everybody relax. We'll manage this together.
Don't panic. John's up next. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.